Well, across North Carolina, police departments in urban and rural areas are getting into the drone game. A statewide de facto moratorium on law enforcement drone use ended in 2015, and since then, the technology has become more affordable, and police departments are using the aerial tools for a range of reasons. Frank Taylor is managing editor of Carolina Public Press, and he's been looking into the legal and ethical questions surrounding how North Carolina police are using drones. Welcome back, Frank.
Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, about this de facto moratorium, because that was in place until 2015. What was that all about?
It ended in December 1st, 2015. Essentially, there was concern at the legislative level that this was new technology. It had a lot of interesting implications for law enforcement, but also for individual rights. And I think they wanted to try to figure some things out before everybody just went out and bought a drone. A few early adoption agencies that had drones and then couldn't use them for a while. I can't remember when that first went in place, but it was in effect for several years. It expired in 2015. It had required everybody to get a stack of approvals. And most agencies said, there's too many hurdles. We're not going to bother getting the approvals. And they just didn't pursue drones. So this thing ended. Suddenly the legal climate had changed, and at the same time, the financial climate was changing as the technology became more affordable and more off the shelf.
Any idea how many police departments now have taken advantage and how many are using this technology?
So I could give you an estimate, and it probably will be low. But what I found, there's between 10 and 20 that I know of, and that's not including some rescue operations that are not strictly law enforcement. There are some that are a single agency using them for rescue and law enforcement. But we think the number is growing quickly, and that estimate is fairly old. And it's just a little bit hard to track. There's an attempt by an organization called the Institute for the Study of the Drones, based at Bard College in New York, that looks at this throughout the country. And that was their estimate as of last fall from North Carolina. But again, seeing that there was rapid growth at that time, they think it must be higher now.
All right. So you talked about this moratorium being in effect. The legislature wanted to figure out how the technology can be used. What are the challenges? And obviously, there are questions about civil liberties involved here and some questions about how this technology might be used legally. Did we figure that out? And maybe the way to ask this is, how are the police department's using this technology, and what are some of the questions that have arisen?
Sure. So there was a piece of legislation that was passed that's in place that says there's a special warrant you have to get if you want to use a drone for surveillance beyond what an officer might be able to see with plain sight. I talked with Jeff Welty, who's written quite a bit about this issue. He's at the North Carolina UNC School for Government. And Jeff has blogged in particular about this issue. And his comment was, if somebody's gotten a drone warrant, he'd like to see it. People are in a hurry to tell me when I've talked to these police agencies, yeah, we're not using it for anything. We'd have to get a warrant. So they're using it very creatively for a lot of other things.
Like what?
One of the interesting issues that's come up is for pursuing fugitives. And that could be somebody who is a missing person that they're out seeking for, or somebody who is on the run from the law. They may be looking for people in a rescue situation. Had one county where they did some very creative work using drones to look at flooding conditions, areas that were dangerous for people to go in on foot, and they could go and evaluate, okay, what's happening to the rivers in this area.
So that's some of the use, but you talked about a warrant and police agencies saying we're not using it when we would need a warrant. And that does seem to be the question, whether a drone kind of passes by your window, peeks inside, and finds you doing something illegal without a warrant, then what does that police agency do?
That's a good question. I don't think that that's actually come up that I know of, but it's certainly the potential concern that's out there. Something that's come up a little more directly is, what do you do if you have an active criminal and they know that they have it? So they send it to look at an active shooter, for instance, and they can tell the SWAT team, okay, we've got eyes on the shooter. This is not a case where you're going to bring evidence to try somebody. You're probably going to end up taking them out or trying to get them to surrender. So it avoids the whole Fourth Amendment issue, really. That goes to whether the evidence is admissible in court.
Oh, Frank.
Well,
I'm out of time for now, but I know you're following this question, so we'll revisit as you do more research. And obviously, police agencies and hopefully the state are also doing the same. Frank Taylor, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Frank Taylor, managing editor with the Carolina Public Press. You can find out more about his work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, why some North Carolina families are struggling to get access to autism treatments for their children. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.